all I need to know about you.
That's 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 all I need to know about you.
I never know when that song has just begun or it's about to end.
It doesn't. Just keep going.
It sounds like the same.
But what do you want to do when you hear this?
You got a salsa.
You got a salsa. You got to dance, salsa. Right?
I mean, if I knew how to salsa.
Right.
That means I got to go out there and I got to give it an attempt and then my wife will just laugh and be like, you can't do it, huh?
I'm Anna. That's Raven. All I need to know about you, if you're the gentleman who only goes to Zumba classes to stand in the back and watch the women in the class dance and work out. That is all I need to know about you.
I mean, is that even allowed? That sounds pretty creepy to
me. How are you supposed to regulate who goes to a class?
Get out of here, creepy guy who's sweating in the corner.
But listen, I'm not saying... So I'm a Zumba instructor, too. I love to dance, and I love to teach Zumba. I've been doing it for many, many years. And I love when guys come to the class. I love it. It's a small minority of a percentage.
And it's fine if you want to come and audit a class and just check it out.
Yeah.
That type of thing, sure.
Nope, but when you're that dude that's just standing in the back.
Right.
Just standing in the back.
Right.
Watching 27 women just trying to work out and dance. That is all I need to know about you.
I stand at the side.
Get out of the room.
But if you stand on the side, it's a different, you know, it feels a little bit, you know what I mean?
No, you don't.
You're sneaking up on somebody if you're behind them.
No, because you know what happens? Nah. It makes every woman feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're self-conscious.
You're
sure.
Self-conscious. So now you're not worried about burning calories and trying to get that step and shaking it and doing what you're supposed to be doing in that class.
If I was a guy and I'm in row 3 and there's a girl in the back of the room, I'm uncomfortable because I know that the view is not good. You know what I mean? And I like to keep a pretty good feeling, a view of myself. But I know that back there, it's all reality.
I didn't know how to handle the situation. I was like, do I stop the music? And I'm like, hey, creepy dude, out.
Pick something unsexy.
Right.
That's what you do, right?
Go stand at the window with all the other guys outside. Get out of here.
Towel off, perv.
Right.
Get out of here.
That's all I need to know about you.
If you project your stress levels or your cortisone levels on a random person on the phone, retail person, despite the fact that they might be somewhat inadequate and condescending, with their job position, that's all I need to know about you.
Are we going to actually talk about this?
I've been feeling bad about it all. I felt bad about it all yesterday.
It was ridiculous,
yes.
Raven.
Yes, it's not me. I'm typically very patient, okay? So when I'm not going to say that I'm patient in all things because you know that would be a farce. But if I go to a store in retail situations, I've worked those jobs before in my life, right? So I'm usually very patient. I've stood in a return line for an hour at Kohl's or at Walmart. I've done that and I've survived that.
Let me explain. Yesterday, Raven picks up the phone right after the show ended. It was like a minute after the show ended. And he's I don't know who he's calling, you know, and the next thing I know, he's yelling at someone, like really yelling at someone, like, I spoke to your man.
I'm going to speak to their manager.
It was so crazy. I looked at him, I go, who are you talking to? Hang up the phone.
A simple question that I'm asking that should take 30 seconds to answer, and 3 people giving me the runaround and all giving me a different answer than the day before. All that being said, I should have breathed.
You definitely should have breathed.
Now I'm in a situation. Do I call this person and apologize?
No.
Because I still want the product.
Raven, you never call that place again, and you certainly never use that company again. You've humiliated yourself. That is all I need to know about you.
What if I have my wife call and say, he's just a terrible man?
No, Raven, find another company. It was that bad. 1-800-330-9999. That's all I need to know about you. What was the food that you finally ate for the first time? And then you never ate it again. 1-800-330-9999. I'm Anna. That's Raven. I don't know if I could talk about this without gagging.
Okay.
I love seafood. Yeah. I've always eaten seafood. It's been no problem. Sushi, you know, all of it. But there's something about oysters that just, I don't know why it grosses me out so much.
It amazes me that it took you this long to actually try them.
Oh, so this past Sunday was my dad's 60th birthday party, and they brought out this massive plate of oysters. So my dad's like, here, Anna. And I'm like, Daddy, I don't eat those. And he looked at me like shocked.
A little
like,
hot sauce on there. You slide them right back.
Oh, he was like, what do you mean you don't eat them? And I'm like, I've never had them. And, you know, like a true father. Eat one right now, Anna.
Right now. You're going to experience life. We're going to open up these doors for you.
And there's so many things that gross me out. Like the way it looks, the fact that it's on a shell. And I'm like, they can't wash the shell.
It's not an attractive looking thing. That's true.
So now I put this shell to my mouth. And it's like I have the ocean in my mouth.
Right.
And I...
There's always a little scent and a little taste to it.
Right. I get that first whiff, and he's like, you put enough lemon? I go, I don't know if I put enough lemon.
Oh, I'm not a lemon guy. Ugh. I'm not a lemon guy with it, I got to say.
And all I keep thinking is, like, how do they know there's no pearls in here? Am I going to choke on a pearl?
Did you get a little sand? Well, there's always a little sand. There's going to be, if you're going to go through a dozen oysters, all right, there's going to be some sand.
Well, I went through one, and I put it in my mouth, and the entire family is looking at me, and now I have it in my mouth, and my first reaction is I want to spit it out. But,
right.
You know, I'm a grown-up. I can't spit out food anymore. And so I just swallow it, and it's like this slimy thing with this weird texture.
Did you chew it? Did you chew it even once or twice? Or you just threw it back.
I think I gave it a good gumming.
Oh, because I didn't know what to do with it. You
got
to just throw it back there. You should have went college on that one. Pace University.
Oh gosh, no, thank you. So I finished, and he's like, "You want another one?" I'm like, "No,
no,
I don't.
No, not now, not ever.
I don't ever want to eat another oyster in my life. I don't care what they say about the benefits of it, aphrodisiac and thing and whatever they say.
I mean, well, that doesn't really come in handy at your father's 60th birthday party anyways.
No,
so
no.
That wouldn't be a reason to do it.
One and done. That is it when it comes to oysters.
Yeah, I don't love all seafood myself. I like, you know, shellfish and stuff like that. But I do like oysters and mussels and stuff like that. I'm cool with that.
I like mussels. I like it when it's cooked.
Yeah.
It's the raw thing that gets me. Somebody got that from the ocean. And they opened it, and now I have to eat it, and they cost a lot of money. It doesn't make sense to me.
Consider it a survival situation, right?
Oh,
if you were stuck on an island or something like that. So first time going to be your last time is what you're saying.
What's the one food that you had for the first time, and that was the last time you ever ate it?
Well, I can't say that I've really had a food where I immediately ruled it out, but I do have a whiskey.
But was that based on the fact that you had a bad experience?
Yeah, Southern Comfort. You think it's such a great idea early on, but then you realize it's not.
No.
And it's not going to be.
God, I can't even think about the smell of Southern Comfort.
It. And I've also recently decided that I'm no longer ever going to eat chili. I don't care how much peer pressure there is.
Because you don't like it?
I don't like chili.
That grosses you out?
I've spent my whole life going, yes, this is delicious chili. I don't even know what good chili tastes like because I don't like any chili.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want any chili. It's the last time.
Somebody wrote on our Facebook page, Beth wrote, oysters, it's like eating snot. I've never read anything so accurate in my life.
It's like hawking up a loogie and then just, you know, deciding that you want to keep it for yourself.
Yeah. On our Facebook page, we asked, what was the one food that you ate and then you never ate again?
Mm.
Indian food, said Tony.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I get that. That's either you like it or you don't.
Some people love it, right?
Right. Carol said liver. A lot of people said liver, actually.
And another one of those things that I think people either love it or they don't. Liver and onions, right?
Yeah. Rachel, green bell peppers. Interesting.
I mean, I like green bell peppers. I mean, in hindsight, I should have been braver about chili to speak up earlier.
1-800-330-9999. What's that one food that you finally tried for the first time and you will never have it again? People like different foods. That's how it is. But I had never tried an oyster. Something about it always turned my stomach. Despite the fact that I love seafood, I had my first oyster this past weekend. I can't.
First time, last time. One and done.
What's the food that you had for the first time and then you'll never have it again? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text that number. We're going to get to your calls coming up next with Anna and Raven. Over the weekend, for the first time ever, I had an oyster and it was disgusting. It was my first and last time. It was like peer pressure from my family. The smell of the ocean was in my mouth.
Do it. Don't be a baby.
I don't understand why this is considered such a delicacy. I mean, I can't even think about it without gagging a little bit.
People love to go to the beach. They love to go to the ocean.
I like to go to the beach, too. I don't like to eat the ocean.
Raw things that just come right out of it, crawling out of it, really.
I like sushi. I like raw fish, but something about that oyster, man, I'll never
couldn't
get
do
that.
It.
Oh, man. Woo!
That got us talking, of course, about that time that you ate something. The first time you ate it was also the last time you ate it.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What is that food? Hi, Anna and Raven.
Asparagus. Ugh.
Asparagus?
I mean, I love asparagus. Half the fun is figuring out how strong the smell will be later on.
That's disgusting.
Oh, really. Come on. It's part of the pleasure.
Well,
you know it is.
That only affects 50% of the population. Not everybody has that.
Oh, that's so sad. You're not an asparagus pea-smell person?
No, I know I am, but that doesn't mean everybody can relate to that.
Oh, so you don't want to make people feel bad about themselves. I understand. That's nice of you.
I can't eat broccoli, so I love asparagus, but the texture of broccoli makes me feel like there's like a raw milk curdling in my mouth.
What?
It feels
like the same.
Thank you so much for the call, and I'm sorry you hate asparagus. It's kind of sad. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that food that you had it once, and now you're done?
Oh, you brought back a memory. 16 years old, friend's birthday party, Asian restaurant, Escargot.
Oh. Oh, I can't even. I don't even like the plate that it comes on.
Don't get it at an Asian though. Get it at a French joint. French
it
joint.
Wait, when you eat snails, like, do you take it out of the shell itself? How do you eat it?
I was 16, so I think we pulled it out with our fingers or those chopsticks. I don't remember.
Yeah, I just had it at a French place not too long ago. First off, only time I ever enter French sovereign territory is when I'm at Sandals, all right? Mm-hmm. They weren't in the shell, and they were kind of delicious.
Ew, but I feel like it was a texture thing, too, right? What was it about it, the taste, or was it the texture that bothered you?
Ew, it's the taste. It was like rubber.
I think when it's like rubbery, it's overcooked, to tell you the truth.
Oh, now you're a connoisseur of snails?
I'm just saying, I ate a couple snails, and I survived.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that one food that you had for the first time, and then you never had it again?
So I was 5 years old, right? And we had all these kids running around the house, and my father handed all of us a banana, and I took a bite out of it, almost puked my guts out, and never ate it again. And now I'm 60 years old, and just recently I had an acai with a banana.
And did you enjoy it after all these years?
It's kind of like a little squirmish. I don't know why I'm still a little squirmish about it. I guess the texture of it, it's like a little slimy and it grosses me out.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that one food that you ate that you'll never eat again?
Okra.
Oh.
Isn't okra like a squash or something? Isn't it? Doesn't it taste like that?
Does it have leaves?
I don't remember, but it's slimy.
You just remember you hated it.
What is the food that you tried once and you'll never have it again?
Oh, that's easy. Head cheese.
Head cheese.
I had it once. I thought I was going to throw up.
Yeah. Anything that has like it's like a pressed meatloaf and then there's things in the middle of there. I can't do it.
It's got the slime that holds it together. It's all this meat. I think it's an Italian thing. It's got all these meats that are held together by literally slime.
Thank you.
It looks like bologna with a fruitcake shoved in it. Like
what
if a bologna and a fruitcake were on the same train track, but they were headed towards each other, and then they ran into each other at a high rate of speed, that's what it looks like.
What is it called?
Head cheese.
Ew. Why do they call it head cheese?
I have no idea.
Have a problem? Anna's daughter Hayden can tell you what to do.
Don't get in trouble after 5 p.m. Otherwise, you'll probably get dessert taken away from you.
Love issues?
If he doesn't show up on a horse on your first date, he's probably not pregnant.
Life problems?
Just tell your boss the truth. You want to put a playground with a slide in your office building so you can have recess during the work day.
Life advice with Hayden Zeff.
Ever need life advice? You could always email my 10-year-old daughter, Hayden, hayden@annaandraven.com. You could ask her anything you want. Mm-hmm. Well, within reason, let's be honest. And she'll give you her unfiltered opinion.
Yeah, I mean, she's not a doctor or anything like that, but you can get an appointment right away, and there's no copay, so that's really nice.
Yeah, she's available in between Roblox games.
Get on it.
All right, Hayden, today's email says, "Hi, Haley." They called you Haley. I have two children, 11 and 6. They've been asking for a puppy for a long time. My husband and I have decided it's a good idea, but I have doubts on whether they'll be responsible and help me take care of the puppy. Any tips or tricks on things I can do to make sure they're ready for this kind of responsibility? And it's signed Mona. What do you think?
Well, first things first, my name is Hayden.
What do you do when people accidentally call you by the wrong name? Do you immediately correct them or do you just kind of let it go?
You should say, "I think you had the wrong person. My name is Hayden."
Okay. All right. Well, Hayden, what do you think about the situation?
I think that maybe you should start out with something little, like a fish or a hamster. And if you see that they're responsible enough for that pet, then maybe you can move on to the dog.
Okay. But taking care of a fish and a hamster is a lot different than taking care of a dog, don't you think?
Well, they're proving their responsibility.
Okay. So if they were going to take care of the fish, how would that be like taking care of a dog?
I guess you could put the fish on a skateboard and take it for a walk. Or just carry the tank around the block.
I think that's a good idea. Just have that 11-year-old carry the tank up and down the street to show that they can walk a dog.
But if you go with the hamster, then you could actually get a little leash and walk it.
Do they make leashes that small for hamsters?
I'm sure you can get it on Etsy. Etsy has everything.
It's true. Etsy does have everything. I've never seen a hamster leash, but I'll definitely look into it. But now, if they do show that they're responsible with the fish and the hamster, now they have a fish or a hamster, now they're going to have another pet? Now she's going to have a whole house of pets.
Or you can wait for the hamster to die.
Terrible.
Wow.
I'm not really sure what a life expectation...
What is it? What is it?
Inspection.
Expectancy.
Okay. Well, I don't know what a life expectancy is for a hamster.
Fair. I don't either.
If you're going to get a dog, make sure your whole family likes the dog. Unlike our dog, where me, my mom, and my sister love my dog, but Dad doesn't really like Lila.
So sad, isn't it?
I know, right?
It is sad.
It's sad if the dog is listening right now. That's, I mean, it's sad in that regard.
I think that my husband, Paul, secretly loves Lila. Mm-hmm. He's just very frustrated. It's a long story, but long story short, my husband, we had a deposit on another rescue that he loved, this boxer. But then the week before, I decided to go to like a Petco adoption, and we got Lila, who's incredibly fearful, and, you know, she doesn't like outside.
It's a journey, Anna Zapp. Yeah. The rest of you are doing right. fine. Yeah, Three things.
I'm not really making excuses for him. He doesn't love the dog.
Three things, all right? Hamsters don't live very long.
How long do they live?
It depends on the hamster, but not very long in general. Right. Second thing, hamster burrito videos and the ones where they're eating things and you make the mini tacos for them and stuff like that. Those are awesome.
They are.
Third thing, I can't walk across a room with a full cup of water without spilling some of it. So if you take that fish for a walk...
Not going to be good.
Also, life expectancy is shortening.
You can say expectancy just as well as my daughter can.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. We're the same.
Uh-huh. If you need advice, email me, Hayden@annaandraven.com. That's Hayden at annaandraven.com. See you next week. Bye.
This is no joke, and it's so South Florida. The National Weather Service says this one, Kelly.
They tweeted out today that it's possible that cold, stunned iguanas could fall from trees tonight.
Good.
I mean, when the National Weather Service puts out that tweet, you're basically saying it's raining iguanas.
It's raining iguanas in Florida.
It's a tsunami of iguanas.
I'm Anna. That's Raven. And here's the explanation as what's happening to these iguanas.
So they're ectotherm. They don't self-regulate their body temperature. So their body temperature eventually kind of acclimates to what it outside.
So they start freezing because it's too cold.
The funny thing is they don't even actually die, I believe. It's just kind of like a hibernation.
Yeah. I saw a Facebook post saying, do not collect the frozen iguanas in your car because they'll come back to life. I was like, is that a real thing?
I heard a story one time. A guy buried a few because he was sad and he thought, you know, these creatures, and they passed away. Woke up the next morning, there was just holes all over his yard. They all came back to life and came up. They rose up.
Joining us, it's my friend Rita, who lives down in Naples.
Hello.
Hi, it's me and Raven.
Hi, Raven. How are you?
I'm wonderful. What's going on with you? I hear it's getting a little bit crazy down there in Florida.
It's pretty cold.
Wait, but
how cold is
how
pretty cold?
How cold is cold for you?
Okay. It was below freezing overnight. We woke up and it was like in the 30s.
Wow.
Right now it is, it's 56 degrees, but the wind is really cold.
Okay. Good.
I mean, that is pretty cold for Florida,
that's
too.
That's cold for Florida.
Yeah. The Super Bowl coming. I mean, when they're talking about raining iguanas, it's pretty cold.
Yeah, so there's so many questions we have about these iguanas that are falling out of the sky, okay?
And I don't know if I'll be able to answer any of them for you, but I will try.
I watch a lot of Swamp People. Uh-huh. I know all about these adventure shows. I'll be fine.
All right, so Rita, they're talking about this on the news. Now, Rita is from the Northeast. She's born in New York and lived in Connecticut.
So she doesn't know about raining iguanas.
Right. You've never had to encounter this before.
Right.
No.
So when you watch this on the news down in Naples, do they talk about it, like, for serious? Like, are they seriously being like, beware of the falling iguanas? Or are they kind of lighthearted? Like, hey, an iguana might fall out of a tree.
So I saw it come up in the news, and it was like a warning. That was how I took it. But I don't know the tone of it.
Mm. Here's the thing. When you get hit in the face or you get hit in the head, it doesn't matter what you run into, whether it be a counter or something flying through the sky or a dodgeball thrown at you. It's always a surprise. Right? It's always a shock.
Very true.
Anna, an iguana, they can be really big. I mean, I have a friend that has an 8-foot iguana. That iguana probably weighs like 70 pounds. So picture a 70-pound anvil falling out of the tree wrapped in leather and slapping you on the head.
What are you going to do if that iguana falls out of a tree? Like, would it hurt you, Rita?
So I actually had an iguana as a pet for a long time.
Who knew?
And his name was Spike.
Okay.
So I feel like I might be, in fact, prepared if it does happen after the initial shock.
So you might bring Spike indoors, then, is what you're thinking. Right, okay.
No, actually, I wouldn't, because my cat would totally kill him.
Oh, no, if your cat and the iguana go head-to-head.
You feel like the cat's the winner there, huh?
You think the cat's the winner?
Well, if the iguana's frozen, I don't know how long it takes.
They heat up quick.
Talking about crouton? Crouton's a wimp.
You're from New England. There's no way it's 56 in your house right now if it's 56 outside in Florida.
Right, but how long, if he's frozen, because that's what's happening,
right.
How long is he going to take to thaw?
She brings up a good point.
I don't know. You could drag him in, and it's like every horror film. You believe he's docile, and he's not moving, but he could be playing possum. Then your cat shows up, tail whip. Oh, just cut Fluffy in half.
So I'm dragging him in. Is he now an alligator?
Could be a big iguana. I'm telling you, my friend's iguana is 8 feet long.
All right. So you haven't seen any of these frozen iguanas yet. That's what you're telling me.
I haven't seen any of these frozen iguanas. But if I do see any frozen iguana, I will take a picture for you.
All right. But make sure. Don't walk under any trees, because they're saying that they'll fall right out and they'll crack you right in your skull.
I don't know how to avoid trees. How do I avoid trees?
Well, I mean, look up, you know what?
Fair to say, we hope you survive this week. I mean, yeah. We hope you make it through
this. Can I walk around with an umbrella?
It seems like a good plan.
It's a 20-pound reptile.
Right.
I don't really have a game plan here. I think I just am going to take my chances.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Don't get hit in the head with an iguana, but if you do, take a picture and send it to me immediately.
That would be my first priority.
Do you think there's some workplaces that just have a hookup culture? I read this tweet, and my mind was blown, and I don't think I could ever walk into Trader Joe's again without feeling...
I thought we agreed you weren't going to say their name.
Oh, just did. I'm Anna. That's Raven.
Some places are inherently sexier than others.
Yeah.
If that's what you're asking me. I mean, as far as grocery stores go on a sliding scale of sexy, Trader Joe's, I could see that it's up there.
Somebody wrote, and I have to change the language because it's wildly inappropriate.
Yes.
They wrote that there is a lot of hooking up that goes on at Trader Joe's. And then the threat.
Amongst employees or customers? I want to understand.
Amongst employees. So I was fascinated. I'm like, wait a minute. I never thought of Trader Joe's being that kind of place.
Right.
Maybe.
You didn't feel desired when you were in Trader Joe's.
No.
Not that you could put your finger on.
Just going there and picking out my red bell peppers, you know. Right. So I was like, huh. And then I started reading all the messages underneath, and there were a ton of people that worked at Trader Joe's that agreed with that. So I was like, wait a minute. Maybe it is a hookup culture there. And then there were different people, Raven, that said that Starbucks has the same thing, that Home Depot has the same thing.
I actually have to go to Starbucks today, and I usually choose Dunkin' because I feel so desired when I'm in Starbucks.
Stop.
Well, no, it's not me. But I feel like everybody else around me maybe at Starbucks is highly desirable, and I am the least desirable of all of them. So I go to Dunkin' because I feel good there. I feel like I'm normal desirable there.
Oh, all right.
You don't feel that way?
Starbucks
is normal for you?
I've never thought about, like, when I walk into places, if there's things going on amongst the employees. But Raven, think about it. What do Trader Joe's, Starbucks, Home Depot all have in common?
Well, they don't sell groceries.
No.
Paper towels. They have uniforms.
Uniforms
is the hotness.
Do you think that if you work in a place that has like a uniform, that leads to a hookup culture?
Well, I mean, obviously some uniforms are sexier than others. Like if you go military or cops, like everybody thinks those are hot, right? Firefighters, people like firefighters, especially in their dress blues or whatever. I don't know if they're dress blues, but they're dress whites. I mean, they love that.
Suspenders.
Right. Anything with some sort of badge on it or insignia is looking pretty good.
Huh.
I don't know if the Home Depot apron really qualifies as sexy.
Maybe to amongst themselves. They're like, who fills out the Home Depot apron better?
What is the sexiest uniform?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Right. So that would really be my question.
I'm trying to
think
of the uniforms I've had to wear in my life. When I worked at Baskin Robbins, I had a blue button-down shirt.
Right.
It was the opposite of attractive.
Okay, good.
So I would say that probably was not sexy.
When I was a waiter at Six Flags, I had to wear the Ranger uniform, but it was really like a Boy Scout uniform, the handkerchief and the short shorts.
I feel funny thinking about that.
I was 19 at the time and very tan. It was in Los Angeles, but not really sexy.
No.
And who wears shorts with a long sleeve shirt?
Right.
That's just a weird Ranger.
The tanned thighs. really short shorts. So who do you think has the sexiest uniform?
UPS is good.
You think UPS has a hookup
brown
culture?
Brown or khaki is usually... I'm not saying amongst themselves. I don't want to get them in trouble.
I'm just curious.
I'm just saying, like, do you think the UPS guy ever gets hit on? And I think he does.
Oh, I think 100%.
They go to the office.
We had the guy that called us. He said that people would answer the door, like, when he was, you know, you need the signature, and that they would hit on him.
Right.
So I think that happens for real.
Right.
1-800-330-9999. I'm just curious. Do you have a hookup culture at your job? And if you do, do you wear a uniform? I saw this random Twitter thread. I don't even know how this came up, but it was a woman who insisted that Trader Joe's has a hookup culture amongst the workers there. And then,
sexy over there.
Yeah, and then on the thread, there was people chiming in that so does Starbucks and so does, who am I missing?
You were feeling Home Depot.
And Home Depot, too. And
right.
We were like, what do these places have in common? Uniforms. So we wonder, if you have a hookup culture and you wear a uniform.
Let me give you a sexy uniform right now.
Yep.
Anybody at the airport.
Like the TSA workers?
Oh, those are sexy uniforms.
No, they're
kind of like cop uniforms, but they're the rich royal blue. I love royal blue. One of my favorite things. Has a utility belt. Anything that has a utility belt with a uniform shirt, I mean, you're kind of like Batman. It's sexy.
1-800-330-9999. What do you think is the sexiest uniform, and does it lead to a hookup culture? We want to know. We read an eye-opening tweet. It's a whole world that we didn't know existed. I'm Anna. That's Raven. And I can't use the language she used because it's wildly inappropriate.
It's very strong.
But she basically accuses Trader Joe's of having a hookup culture amongst the employees.
Well, I thought that what she was saying was, like, not only amongst themselves, but when walking in, like, she feels the sexual tension where people are, like, hitting on her and looking at her, too.
Yeah.
And she likes it, but she doesn't like it.
Yeah, and so many people were agreeing with her. But then in the thread of all these tweets, there's also people saying that Home Depot has a hookup culture. Mm. And they're saying that Starbucks has a hookup culture.
When I go into Starbucks, I feel very desired.
I don't. I just want my latte and get out of there. Normally, I'm not wearing makeup. I'm lucky if I have a pair of Uggs on.
I always choose Dunks because it's less sexy. That's right. I feel less, you know, I don't feel like a piece of meat in there.
I choose Dunks because it's significantly cheaper and better tasting, but that's me. But we realized one thing that all these places had in common. Uniforms.
You ever watch that show, Cops? I think they dress for the camera now.
Do you think the cops are getting sexier because there's more cameras now?
I think they just dress for the camera. I think it's all posturing and gesticulation.
I will say that some cops' uniforms are hotter than others, and yet you're like, wait a minute, these are all cops. These are all you didn't realize that some had a slim fit or whatever, but some are definitely hotter.
They're
definitely hotter. This week, Antonio Brown keeps getting into arguments with cops, and all these cops are really, really good looking.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Do you have a hookup culture at your job? And if you do, do you wear a uniform?
Well, I'm not at my job, but I would say Hooters has the best, sexiest uniform.
Oh, yeah. There's one of those calls all the time. Those are designed to be sexy, though. I'm talking about the ones that...
Subtly sexy.
Yeah, you didn't even see it coming.
Subtly sexy?
Like the makeup counter worker that's got all those brushes.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tell you, fast food workers. Now, hear me out before you just reject it, all right?
Yep.
Girls with visors. Guys with visors, no.
Oh.
Girls with visors, yes. And if the uniform has to be pressed and clean, and it has to fit. You can't take the safety vest if you're out directing traffic that's meant for a triple XL if you're a petite small. You can't do it. You're swimming in that thing.
Football players in general, I think, have sexy uniforms, and they don't even know it, but those pants are tight.
Well, those things are painted on.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Okay, you're going to laugh at me. Like, our UPS guy is pretty hot when he comes to work, and I'm not going to lie, but I want to give it up for the USPS drivers for commercial routes because they process a lot of volume. And they come in, and they've got swagger.
Yeah.
They have swagger.
Swag.
They have swag.
I like it.
It's from that pension.
Swagger.
Yeah.
The pension gives you swag, right?
Pension swag.
I mean, and you're willing wool.
I'm like, hey, how's it going? I got a package for you today.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your uniform?
I am a UPS guy. I wear brown.
Mm-hmm. I told you, the guy's a UPS.
So, two questions. Do you get hit on when you deliver packages?
All the time.
And is there a hookup culture? Does anybody take these people up on it?
All the time. I have friends of mine that, you know, they deliver certain routes. I'm not even going to say, like, the areas, but, you know, they get a lot of action. We don't really have, like, a hookup culture within. I mean, there are a few married couples. Other than that, they kind of frown upon, you know, the whole married couple thing.
I would think so.
Right. Fraternization. Right, because they know it'll also hurt their bottom line. They need you guys out there single and hitting the streets, obviously.
Yeah.
Right. Why does this...
Exactly.
1-800-330-9999. What uniform is the hottest, and do you think there's a hookup culture with that uniform? And on Raven, what's the uniform you think is the sexiest, or you have?
Oh, the one that's the sexiest? Yeah. Oh, well, I work at Petco, and they have a uniform, and they used to have aprons, but there's definitely hookup culture going on there.
At Petco, okay. Who knew?
Is it everybody that, everybody loves animals? They just love animals.
They do love animals, yeah. I don't know, but they seem like they like each other, too.
Clearly. Right.
Because they regard themselves as also animals.
Oh, so like a furry kind of thing?
Yeah, it's like a pheromone thing. You're out there, you're primal, it's survival, it's procreation.
I don't think that's what she means when she says furries,
all
but
right,
thank you.
Maybe they're just into grooming each other with their mouths. I don't know.
Thank you for the call. Who knew? There is a tweet that went out that went viral, and it was somebody accusing Trader Joe's of having a hookup culture. And then I was reading the thread because I was fascinated by it. Mm. Amongst the employees and soliciting of the of patrons, which blows my mind.
Every person who replied to that tweet on there was like, when I'm at the cashier cashing out, I always feel like they're flirting with me.
And they all confirmed it. Now, of course, this is Twitter, so who knows? I'm Anna. That's Raven. Who knows? But they're saying that also at Starbucks and Home Depot, there's this hookup culture amongst the employees. And Raven and I found the one thing that these places have in common.
Right. It's uniforms, of course.
Yeah.
I believe that it might possibly be in the employee handbook. Listen, people, we need to grow this company. So when people come here, you need to make them feel good.
Right.
Even if they're putrid. Just flirt with them. Throw yourself at them.
Wear this apron because it's so hot.
You got to wear it well.
But we're wondering, what uniform, what profession has a uniform that's really sexy that could lead to a hookup culture that, you know, you don't think it's sexy, but it really is? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven.
Well, I think there's hookup cultures in all areas, wherever you go, when you're dealing with people in public and stuff. Mm. I was a home improvement contractor. I used to wear tank tops and shorts and tanned, and I was ripped and the tool belt on and stuff. And there was a lot of times that I used to just decline because I was always taught in the business, never mix business with pleasure because it would turn bad. And I only had one hookup in all the years I've been in business. And it did, it got a little funny. Mm. It was turning into a relationship that I didn't want, that we didn't agree upon at first.
Right.
And I said, this is why I never do that.
I mean, this sounds like not only every relationship I've ever had in my life, but also every time I've ever had a contract with a contractor. We start at one place. We find ourselves in a strange place along the way. A lot of times, we're not friends at the end.
One of my good girlfriends, her husband builds pools. That's what he does. And she tells me all the time, he gets hit on all the time by the women that are home watching him build the pool.
Right. They want the pool guy, the pool boy.
And it usually ends bad.
You're on to the next job. So.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think has the sexiest uniform, and does it lead to a hookup culture?
Yes, definitely. Police and firemen. Yeah, my husband's a fireman, and I can see when the firemen come around, the ladies swoon. They're, look at them. They're so sexy. The good-looking guys. But the same guys come around without their uniform on, and nobody looks twice.
They want to know that those guys are close to danger. Danger is hot.
I'm not going to lie, and this is so embarrassing to admit, but here at the studio, whenever we have fire alarms go off, all the girls run downstairs because we know that the fire trucks are coming and the hot firefighters are coming.
You should see when firefighters or cops walk into the studio. Anna goes from being this, I didn't even put makeup on, I'm wearing sweatpants type things, to all of a sudden you look over, she's trying to lean on something. Like, give her sexiest face and make sure she's got the right side of her facing forward. It's like a whole thing.
I'm telling you, I think John in accounting is purposely pulling the fire alarm sometimes.
Very possible.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Holly and Thomas joining us every weekday. A different couple comes, tells us their problem, and you're the judge as to who's right. Holly, let's start with you. What's going on?
I am so frustrated with my family, and they don't even see the problem, pun intended, like growing in front of them. My niece is 13 and grossly overweight. And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but like, you know, even I see her all the time. This is not what a 13-year-old should look like. So I'm a trainer, and every single Friday, our family always gets together and we do like these family fun Friday nights, play games and stuff like that. And we always end up getting pizza. It's my turn this Friday. It's going to be at our house. And I think we should do like salads. Like I could even have some chopped almonds and craisins and just, you know, a lot of healthier options and hopefully curbing my 13-year-old niece who usually will like slam like four or five slices of pizza.
If you're feeding everybody, so what's the problem? What is the concern about changing the menu?
Right.
I mean, as long as everybody eats, right, then you've done your part as the host. So I don't understand.
You're disrupting the status quo. It's about getting together and having a fun time with a large group. And our thing we do is pizza. It's just what we do. And I feel like
get that.
Trying to do something like this in front of that many other people, I think, would be embarrassing. It's fat shaming her.
Holly, you wouldn't point out that you're changing the menu because she's overweight, right? Like, you're not actually pointing it out to her, right?
Oh, definitely not. No, I'm just
she's going to figure it out.
Well, I think that depends on everybody else's face, but right, you can't control everybody else, right? If everybody else knows and somebody says it out loud, then yeah, she's going to feel terrible about herself and like she did something to the family night. I guess that is a consideration.
So what we do is ask our audience, and they may agree with you, Holly. It's your house. It's your turn to serve the family, and you've decided that you're going to do healthier options, and you're going to play it off as, hey, listen, we should all be eating healthier. So when it's at my house once a month, it's not pizza. But they may see Thomas's point, too, that it's not really fair that you're doing this because you really are fat shaming her without even calling her out. You're kind of breaking tradition. Do you both agree to listen what our audience has to say?
Yeah.
Great. Give us a call. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
You can always call us or text us at 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Holly and Thomas, their 13-year-old niece is very overweight. Every Friday, they meet at a different family member's house for Family Fun Friday that includes pizza. This is what they always do. Holly says she needs to set an example for her niece. She's a trainer. No more pizza.
Yeah, but the husband, of course, Thomas, thinks that this is going to be a red flag for everybody else. The teenager is going to know that we're changing this right here because you're heavy, and he thinks he's going to make her feel bad. He says, this is pizza night. Keep it the way it is.
1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. You know, I had my daughter's going to be 30 now, but when she was a teenager, she was, you know, overweight. And I learned the more that you try to show them that they were overweight and make food choices for them, the worse it was. You start finding, you know, candy wrappers and stuff under the bed. You know, calling her out on it is making it worse. My daughter decided one day that she was tired of being overweight. She lost over 100 pounds. Her, you know, they've got to be able to do it on their own. You can offer choices, but you can't make the decisions for them.
Yeah, thank you for the call. This hits close to me, too. You know, I was a heavy kid, and I had to go through the whole process of seeing the doctors and losing the weight. It's hard when you're young to understand that I can't have the same things that my best friend can have. But yeah. Having some healthy options, I remember my mom did little things. All of a sudden, there was no more whole milk in the house. The candy was gone from the house. Mm. Things that I didn't really realize she was doing.
Anything like this, I mean, a problem that grows larger, and that's not about size here, just the problem itself in general, is you need to scale down at some point. You have to start. So education is always key, too. I don't know. It's tricky.
Right, but I don't think giving up pizza on a Friday is a big enough step. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court with Anna and Raven. You know, it's never easy when there is somebody young in your family that's overweight. And that's what's going on with Holly and Thomas. Their 13-year-old niece, she's got extra weight on her. And Holly is a trainer, so it kills her that nutrition is a part of her life. And she has to watch her niece go through this. Now, every Friday, they have Family Fun Friday with pizza. They go over a different family member's house and they all get together. Except she's got a new plan. No more pizza at her house because she needs to set an example for their niece.
Yeah, Thomas says that takes all the fun out of Family Fun Night. In the same breath, he was like, you know what? It's all about getting together. But I share the fact that, you know what? There could be some concern where you make this change right here and somebody is going to assume it's about that teenager. And if one person says something or if one person feels that way and then that teenager feels that way without any warning, that's going to be a rough night.
It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven. You can always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm totally on his side. One healthy meal a week isn't going to make a difference for this girl. But meddling in her business and with the other parents, that could really set up some hard feelings going forward. Just give the girl her pizza. Mind your business.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the wife's side. And I think a good idea to have this plan go forward would be to blame it on the new year. Say, I'm making a new year's resolution that in this house we're having healthy dinners. And that's what you're
going to
do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good idea. You can go under the guise of New Year.
When fearful, always lie. Of course. I got what you're saying. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Good morning. I am on the wife's side. I think that the girl, maybe if she sees better options and she likes them, she will choose them in the long run and change her diet. And also, it's not about the food. It's about the people you're with. So I'm on the wife's side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Holly, our audience agreed with you. If you're not pointing out that the reason why you're doing this is because your niece is overweight and you're just trying to be a good role model for your family for healthier options, it's your house. You can serve whatever you want.
Yeah, and it's a new year. So why not take on some like new traditions? We don't have to do pizza every Friday.
Right.
I think it's totally fine. I mean, you're the host. So if you're not pointing it out, you're providing a meal for everybody. Everybody should be fine. On the other hand, if you're very concerned about your niece, obviously you feeding her healthy once a month doesn't make any difference whatsoever. So maybe you should spend some time with her. You know, if you're an active person, maybe she can get a little bit more active with you. But that's a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And like invite her to hikes or something.
Right. Right. That's a great idea.
So Thomas, you're gonna give your wife a break and let her serve whatever she wants tomorrow, right?
I mean, sure. Well, I guess we'll see how it goes.
All right. If you have an issue too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
Oh, we had a good thing going. Shake and bake.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
Were people nice? No.
Did you make any friends?
Yeah.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
Your situation would be concurrently improved if I had $200 in my back pocket right now.
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven.
Hey, Vicky, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Vicky.
All right, Vicky.
Thank
Raven
you.
Is walking on out of here. When that big old studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof room. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite Raven back in, and I'll ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it does go to Raven. But if you could beat him, we give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready to do it?
Yes, I am.
All right. You got a loss yesterday, and he usually goes on a tilt, so he'll lose a couple in a row. Let's see if we can do it. Number 1, RuPaul will host SNL for the first time on February 8th. That episode's musical guest just released a new song called Yummy. Who is it?
Justin Bieber.
Number 2, Drew Barrymore is getting her own syndicated CBS daytime talk show. What 1982 movie was she a child actress? And in the movie, there was a special visitor from outer space.
E.T.
Number 3, Jennifer Garner joked that no one swipes on her Tinder profile. If you like someone's profile, which way do you swipe on Tinder?
Right.
Mr. Pina, with his top hat and monocle, will die in a car accident in a Super Bowl commercial. Sad. What is the Pina company he belongs to?
Planner.
And number 5, Blake Shelton says he wants to bring back the mullet. He's also up for Best Country Solo Performance at the Grammys. Who is his girlfriend?
Gwen Stefani.
Awesome. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven!
Yo.
Vicky got all 5 right.
Jeez. Wow, Vicky.
All right, let's see. Number 1, RuPaul will host SNL for the first time February 8th. That episode's musical guest just released a new song called Yummy. Who is it?
It's Justin Bieber.
That is correct.
Wait a minute. So RuPaul is going to do the one with Bieber because J.J. Watt, the football player, is also supposed to be on that episode.
Yeah,
so
no.
You got 3 stars.
Yeah, it's going to be a big show.
That's huge.
Yep. Number 2, Drew Barrymore is getting her own syndicated CBS daytime talk show. What 1982 movie was she just a child actress and the movie was about a special visitor from outer space?
That's E.T., of course.
Yes.
You want to go back and check out some cool Drew Barrymore? Check out Firestarter.
Jennifer Garner joked that no one swipes on her Tinder profile. If you like someone's profile, which way do you swipe on Tinder?
Oh, my God. Oh, God. I don't know. I'm married. I've been married forever. I'm just going to say swipe to the right.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, it was 50-50, I Raven. Mean,
Sometimes you got to take a shot, you know? But it was just as exciting as waiting for the ball to fall on roulette, you know? I don't know. 100 on black or red. I was nervous. Is it going to go green this time? Is it going to go green?
Oh, man. That is so funny. I look at your sweat.
I was nervous. I really didn't know.
Oh, my gosh. Mr. Peanut with his top hat and monocle will die in a car accident in a Super Bowl commercial.
Dumb. I'm very mad about this for multiple reasons. That's a different topic, different story.
There's got to be something else. There's no way that Mr. Peanut dies, right?
I'm very upset about it.
Yeah. What is the peanut company he belongs to?
He belongs to Planters.
That's right. And you need this last one to tie, Vicky. Blake Shelton says he wants to bring back the mullet. He's also up for Best Country Solo Performance at the Grammys. Who is his girlfriend?
Gwen Stefani just put out a music video together.
Yeah, they sure did. And they're going to be performing it this Sunday at the Grammys.
They're so in love. Yeah. They're like country's king and queen at this point.
Yeah, which is weird. You never thought you would say Gwen Stefani would be country.
She's always been awesome, though.
Vicky, I'm sorry I can't give you that $100 gift card to Dunkin' because he tied you, but I will give you a pretty cool Anna and Raven prize pack. Sound good?
Sweet.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. I was really hoping the Tinder question get him.
Yeah, I thought so, too. No, he broke a sweat. Like, if you could see the top of his head right now, it's so funny.
If I had time, I would have flipped the coin, honestly.
Yeah, hold on the line, Vicky. We'll get all your info. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, we're going to get the cheat sheet. It's the first two answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions, so you could take Raven down, too. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour here today. Simple things you can do to better your dogma. I'm Anna. That's Raven. Joining us, it's Mary Ellen Walsh. She's from The Grateful Dog. You can visit them online at thinklikeyourdog.com. We call this January, Mary Ellen. It's 3 things that you can do to make yourself better in 2020. Over 50% of Americans have a dog in their home.
Yes, they do. Pet industry is, I think at this point, a $66 billion a year business. And of course, that encompasses more than just dogs. But it gives us an idea of how important our 4-legged friends are to us.
It really seems like this is the time of the pet owner, right? I mean, they're a furry child now. Just look at how we regard them and talk with them. I have 2 rescues myself. Realistically, they run the house.
Exactly. That's what they do.
Okay, what are some simple things that we can do to be better pet owners?
One of the things that I like to impress people on, and particularly the kids, treat the dog the way you would like to be treated. That is going to get you a friendship of your life. Mm. Now, it isn't to say that you're equal. We're not. There is no equal in nature. However, in order to be leader, we need to keep the hierarchy in line. And that's when the dogs are going to feel the safest. Because to them, their routines teach them they're safe. The fact that we are available to them and safe with them. I don't really raise my voice with a dog. I tend to go low. I'll growl when I want to make it's that kind of a sound.
Right.
They stop dead in their tracks and they're like, what? You know, yelling, just as when people yell at us, loses its purpose.
It's funny you say that because I get frustrated and I yell.
I love the statement that there is no equal in nature. That's right.
There's no perfection either. I remember when my children were little, I was thinking, I'm going to drive myself crazy trying to make this. There's no perfection. You just are.
What are some other things we can do besides controlling our voice and controlling our emotions, which is a really good tip?
And it works. They stay children all of their lives, so they never grow up. The way I look at it is they have a certain level of, how can I get what I want
right.
this human being? And, right? And what's the technique I use to get there.
They're right. not different than people in that regard. We got a really good border collie. One of us could be out tomorrow, Anna Zappa.
Well, I have a border collie, and she is smart and manipulative. And
dogs find means and ways of manipulating us, and as you said, they are super smart. They're not really listening to our language. They're watching our body language. That's what determines what their status is in the world and in their families. Is if I square my shoulders and stand straight up, my dog knows I'm serious. If I bend forward and lean over, my dog goes, oh, great, she wants to play. You'll notice in your family of dogs, they do the same thing.
Yeah. And
I've been working with training my dogs, too, and I've been told since moment one that the little one will do everything that the big one tells it to do.
That's it.
Because the big one was in the house beforehand, and I really do see the way that they react to each other. The funny thing is, when the big one misbehaves, he's doing it because he's challenging the little one, and it's just a whole ego thing going on.
Yes, there
it's
is.
Crazy.
It's turf, and size doesn't matter.
Final thoughts, Mary Ellen, on improving your dogma?
I really believe that schedule is extremely important. Not to be a person that really loves schedule. Now I adore it because my animals taught me to. That if on a regular basis they eat, everything will be okay.
I always joke with Raven because he always compares his puppies to like my baby. You know, I have an actual 1-year-old little daughter at home.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And I always say I'm like, stop comparing your dog to my baby. But reality-wise is you should treat them with respect as you would treat your child. You should use your body language. situation, use your words and stay calm. And you should keep them on a schedule, just like your kid has a nap schedule and an eating schedule. That's it's kind of the same exact thing.
Schedule, schedule, schedule. The more we regulate their system, after a while, the dogs depend on us so much. But it relieves you of pressure and stress if you know they know the schedule. Well, it makes for a wonderful friendship.
Well, it's tax time now, so start planning for your dog's tuition as well.
Mary Ellen Walsh, you can find her online at thinklikeyourdog.com. She's from The Grateful Dog. Mary Ellen, thank you for taking the time this morning.
Oh, you're most welcome anytime.